to truly believe in the magic.
We're going to start off with some of the questions we received from our Patreon members. Angus was actually the first person to send a Patreon question in, so well done to Angus. And he says that he can see the magic being a 500 team this year, but he asks what might be needed to push us over the top, really, to being, I guess, a secure playoff team. Or he's asked, do we wait, play the waiting game and for another season and then see what happens and go big with free agency? So, Mikey, I'm going to come to you first. What's your thoughts on Angus's statement slash question?
It's a great question. Outside of the obvious in Paolo and Franz taking another leap and everybody riding on their coattails and taking us as far as they're going to go, I think as a team, I think the most important thing that we have to improve is the three-point shooting. I think if that doesn't improve, then I think you're going to really struggle. Last year, we were 24th in three-point percentage and 27th in 3 points attempted. Bringing in Joe Ingles, who's a really, really good career three-point shooter. Jet Howard can throw them up. As we've seen highlights from him in college last year for Michigan, they're certainly going to help that cause. But I think Markel needs to improve that shot, that efficiency. Cole, Jalen Suggs. It's really that guard rotation that really needs to improve from the three and spread the floor out for Franz and Paolo for me. So 3-point shooting would definitely be one of them. The other one's defense. The Magic were 18th in defensive rating last year. In February, which was their best month, they were ranked 4th. And we saw large stretches last year where the Magic were really good defensively. But I think if we want to be a playoff team or be in and around the play-in, I think the Magic need to try and sneak up into that top 10, top 15 minimum. If you're not a good defense, you're not going to make the playoffs. And that's the bottom line, really. As Stone Cold said so. that wasn't meant either. But yeah, they need to improve that. In defensive rebounding last year, the Magic were ranked 8th. And I think when the Magic did get stops, we limited teams to one possession. So I think that's certainly a sign that from last year that can carry into this year. But yeah, defense and 3-point shooting's massive. And I think we just need to establish that shooting guard position for me. And find a competitive 9-10 man rotation that's going to hit all those things that we need, especially 3-point shooting and defense.
So really detailed answer, Mikey. Yeah, I like the Stone Cold reference. So now you can sit on one of those clockwises there and go for it. Paul, what's your thoughts on what the question was and obviously what Mikey's just said there?
Right. The only thing I'd add to what Mikey has said is I would like to see our offensive rebounding improving as well. That's if you can pick up a few more of those, then you're looking at increasing your productivity on scoring. So I would just add that one in there. As to whether we swing big or whatever, I'm hoping that as of this moment, we see a period where we hold firm, we see what we've got again, because we've drafted two. We hope that the one player that Mikey didn't mention as far as three-point shooting goes is Caleb Houston. Hopefully he can take a little bit of a step forward as well, because we saw improvements as the season progressed. So if we can see him pick up a few extra points from distance, that's if he gets a game. I mean, we don't know what the rotations are going to be yet, but I do entirely agree with Mikey on what he said. I would add the offensive rebounding and hold firm, see what we've got this season, because we don't know. We've still got a lot of young players. We haven't seen Jonathan Isaac in extended periods with that group. So let's see what we've got.
I think that's a really fair point, Paul. I think we know what the record was when Jonathan Isaac played last year, and it was 9 of 11.
Yeah.
So I think just to jump on the back of what you guys have said, and you've said both said it better than I ever could, but I think looking at it, we're not going to look for a trade. I think a trade would only be if the trade became available that would push us over the top. I think it will be wait and see what we've got, and see what the rookies can do, see if they address the three-point shooting. I do think some way or another we've got to get a little bit better as well in the paint, and that's with rebounding and with the shot blocking perhaps as well. And I think finding what that front court rotation is, if Jonathan Isaac is fit, could be huge, because I said, I think it was last week or the week before, that if Wendell goes down with an injury again and Isaac really is as healthy as we've ever seen, he might end up taking more minutes off Wendell than Wendell would have liked, which Isaac would bring with it, the shot blocking and the paint protection. So it'll be interesting to see.
Do you think a healthy Jonathan Isaac is enough to make the Magic a top 10 defense? If you think that they're 18th in defensive rating last year, do you think a healthy JI for, let's say, 20 minutes a game, do you think that's enough to push the Magic that close to the top 10?
If it was a healthy JI for 25 minutes plus a night, and if it was a case of Fultz was playing the type of defence that he was playing at the end of last season, maybe.
They've got the pieces, because then you forget
Jalen. For me, it definitely moves.
Jalen Suggs. Yeah, you forget Jalen Suggs and Anthony Black, who's potentially elite, and Gary Harris. I mean, they've got the pieces. They just need to learn how to close games out and win.
And it's something I'm going to mention later on, but Paolo's defense, you also, and I know you've not seen much at the World Cup, Mikey. I think you've seen a couple bits more, Gary, than Mikey has potentially. But some of his defensive play has been superb, but I'm going to come to that later.
It is interesting considering that was the knock poll, so I'm looking forward to what you've got to say on that. Yeah. So great question from Angus. And then Dylan Holden has contributed a couple of questions, and I think one in particular is a real talking point. The first one is, what Dylan asks, is pertains to Paolo and Franz, and he asks about, is there a potential rivalry brewing between the pair? Is it healthy competition? Could it become a problem? Is it the Shaq Penny 2.0? Dylan is looking at it from the online perspective of that there's already torn a few fans online about where they stand on this. So he's a little bit, doesn't really like it that much. So Paul, what's your thoughts on this one?
Do you know what? I thought this was quite an interesting question that Dylan's dropped. I quite like this one. I'm going to leave the Shaq and Penny aspect to you guys, as I wasn't around at that point. But as far as our Franz and Paolo goes, seeing both guys want to win for your country, it's a good thing, because you're seeing that spirit and desire, and you're hoping that you see that then transferred to our future in Orlando. So I'm all up for seeing both guys wanting to win and being passionate for their national team. We've also got in every sport, there's a long history of teammates playing internationally against one another. And very rarely do we see it have a negative effect when players come back to their club locker room. You know, in the World Cup last year, you've got players coming back from playing for Argentina who were playing alongside, who was the team who won it? Who was the other one in the World Cup final in FIFA?
Don't ask me.
In FIFA? I can't remember.
FIBA.
Yeah, not FIBA, not the basketball, in the football. I forgot who it was up against, but both teams came back and they got players at big clubs who'd played against one another in the final. No knock-on effects. It's a competitive world that these guys live in. On Thursday, I don't know if you saw this, but you saw Franz asked a question if he and Paolo had texted one another in the lead up to this game. Franz laughed and just said, no, we've not exchanged any texts. I'm happy to see that. They don't need to be friends whilst they're out there playing one another, because that shows a professionalism and a level of respect that you're not letting your mate get under your skin and get into your head. I'm happy with that. As important was watching Franz's reaction to that question. There was no animosity in his answer towards Paolo. It was just an amusement at the question, and it was like, no, of course, we're mates. It's not a problem. So I think that actually tells you a bit more about where they are. And then you only had to watch the end of the game to see Magic players come together. Paolo was hugging Mo. He was hugging Franz. There was, congratulations, guys, going through. You played a hell of a game. Which Germany did. I think ultimately the bigger problem for the Magic is managing media attention and exposure, and perhaps in some ways egos, because it's without doubt that in NBA terms, Paolo has the bigger presence, even though we all know he's criminally underlooked for a number one pick, Rookie of the Year, and current Team USA player. Franz is underrated. His ability is not up for question. You only had to watch Steve Kerr before the Germany game with the USA. In his press conference yesterday, everybody knows how good Franz is, and we've got a plan for him. But there's other good players on that team. As to fans arguing on socials, it's symptomatic of people on social media, isn't it? It's you can't see people, sometimes can't see other people's opinions and won't respect that opinion. I don't like tanking. I never have liked tanking. I never will. But I can see other people's arguments and the merits for it. I accept it. I just don't want to see it for us. I can accept a contribution. I suppose that goes more to the maturity and intelligence of the people involved.
Very eloquently answered, Mr. Pagan. Very eloquent. Mikey, have you got anything you'd like to add there?
Not really. I think, but I completely agree with Paul. I think he said it as well as I could have, if not better. I just see it as healthy competition. I think when we see these guys return back to Orlando ready for training camp and pre-season, I think they'll be all pushing each other just as much as there's going to be competition in training camp for places, for minutes. There's going to be a lot of players with a lot to prove this season. I don't see any problem with it at all. I mean, I haven't been online this week, so I'd have to read half what the idiots, but but no, I'm just kidding. It's healthy competition. Look, these guys are, 20 and 21? Full of testosterone, full of hunger. They want to win. And that's all you really want to see. It sounds really daft, and I don't know how this goes down, but I feel more happy and more confident where we are as a franchise with Paolo and Franz than I would as a Boston Celtics fan with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. That's how confident I am in this pair and where we're going. I feel like it doesn't mean it's going to be a straightforward path to get to the finals or becoming a contender in the next 3 or 4 years, but I feel like we've got a better setup than what the Celtics have been putting out there. Controversial, maybe, I don't know, but that's just how I feel about these two. I just think they're special. I think, as Paul said, Paolo is, as the number one pick, is obviously going to get more of the limelight. He's getting more of the attention. But look, I've seen like the odd highlights, and Paul can obviously agree with this because he watched the game earlier. Franz is a star in the making as well, and I think people are still sleeping on Franz, and we're going to get onto a couple of those topics coming up a bit shortly.
A bit shortly.
I don't know what that was. Hey, I've had a long week. I've been up at 5 this morning, and you know what happened. I have a brain fart on a Friday night now then. So that's what happened. There you go.
Hey, it makes a change from it being me, dude.
So Dylan's also asked us, who do we see as the biggest sleeper heading into camp? So, Mikey, I'll go to you first. You can continue on, and then
Jalen Suggs. Jalen Suggs is the sleeper for me. If you look at his improvements from his rookie year to last year, he went from 36% from the field to 42%, 21% from the three-point line to 30%, close to 33% last year. And obviously he had that stretch where he was at, 37, 38% down the stretch of the season. He went from 3 turnovers a game to 1.8. He's become more efficient. He's not getting as many shots. He's not getting to the line quite as much as he did in his rookie year. But I think the game's slowing down. We know how good he is defensively. I don't know if he's going to get the opportunity. I don't know if he's necessarily going to get enough minutes to be in the most improved player as a candidate in that conversation. But I certainly think, if you're just looking at Magic players, I think Suggs could be our own most improved player next season. I'm fully expecting Suggs to win that two-guard position. I think if he doesn't and Gary Harris begins the year as that, then I would be a little bit concerned about where Jalen Suggs is going to be over the next 2-3 years. But year three is a huge year for Jalen Suggs, because we can already start to see players might start getting squeezed out. We're seeing this. We're already feeling this with a player like Chuma, who his opportunities are going to be few and far between, I think, unless he has an amazing training camp and nobody sees it coming. But I think for me, Jalen Suggs has got to be the sleeper this year.
What about you?
Ditto. I've got Jalen Suggs. In fact, my answer is contained in the draft cap there. For non-Magic fans, it's Franz. For Magic fans, and for me, I think it's Suggs. As Mikey said, he's got a full summer, increased experience, and some of the spotlight on his game will be off having drafted Anthony Black. Let's hope we see him take that step forward, because we know what he's capable of producing. We saw it against Golden State last season.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's really fair. And it is a huge one for Jalen Suggs coming up, and Dylan's a big fan of Jalen Suggs. Yeah. I think you'll be pleased with your answers there, boys.
Who's yours, Gary?
It depends how you define sleeper. Outside of the Magic fan base, I think the sleeper is Jonathan Isaac.
Because
if he's as healthy as we are hearing that he is, we've seen statistically the impact that he has on the team. There's potential when you look at the starting lineup that we know that Jalen's gunning for the two-guard spot, but we also know that Jonathan Isaac's gunning for minutes as a big, and those minutes could be available depending on what Wendell's fitness is like this season. He satisfies a lot of boxes in terms of the blocks, the defensive end, and he influences games. So I think he's, for me, the needle mover. I would also say two players in different ways. I think Cole is a sleeper, which I'm going to say, obviously, but I think it's a contract year. And we saw what he did towards the back end of the season in the sixth man role. And if he comes out of the gates healthy and starts putting up 16 points plus a game efficiently, you're talking top three, sixth man of the year conversation. And the other guy is Jet Howard. And I say that he hasn't touched a ball in the NBA, but I looked at our British bookies rookie of the year odds, and he was about 18th, I think it was today, on the rookie of the year odds. He was way down the list. But if you think about, again, like Isaac, what need does he fill? Mm. If healthy, the need he fills is the one the Magic need.
That's a good answer, mate.
I had to go a little bit out of the box because I just couldn't sit and agree with you guys. But I do want Jalen to have a huge year. Of course I do.